Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. After months of talking about it, Washington now has a vaccine mandate. And while that's a win for public health, it also means some people are out of a job. And services from healthcare to ferries are seeing big disruptions. KUOW's Kate Walters will break down the impact of the mandate in a minute. But first, let's get you caught up. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson says he's filing criminal charges against Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer. They stem from a late-night confrontation Troyer had with a black newspaper carrier in his neighborhood last January. Troyer told emergency dispatchers his life was threatened and touched off a massive emergency response. The sheriff later backtracked on that claim. Now Ferguson is charging Troyer with two misdemeanor counts, one for false reporting and one for making a false or misleading statement to a public servant. Troyer has denied wrongdoing and calls the charges politically motivated. Small businesses in Seattle have another chance to get some grant money from the city. $4 million is up for grabs in this new round of funding, courtesy of the American Rescue Plan. To qualify, businesses have to be based within the city limits, have no more than 50 employees, and make $2 million a year or less. The city says it's prioritizing businesses led by women and people who are Black, Indigenous, or people of color, and businesses in lower income areas. And Seattle police say they've arrested a downtown business owner who had $10,000 worth of stolen goods in his store, including 171 Lego sets. They say a prolific shoplifter was stealing goods from downtown businesses and passing them on to a business just outside Pike Place Market. SPD heard about it after an employee from one of the targeted stores noticed some of their missing items in the shop's window. The shoplifter apparently targeted Star Wars Lego sets, especially Mandalorian-themed ones. The investigation is ongoing. Monday was the deadline for thousands of people in Washington to get vaccinated or lose their job. It looks like most people complied with city and state mandates, but some did choose to walk away. Like Charles LeBlanc. He worked for the state for 30 years, and Monday was his last day as fire marshal.
I will walk away with no medical or dental coverage for my family. And it actually puts me into a category which makes me ineligible for unemployment. It's one thing to be put out in the cold, to be discarded like you're a piece of garbage. But then it's another thing to be kicked while you're down.
The small number of people who left their jobs in industries like healthcare and law enforcement could have a big impact. KUOW's Kate Walters is here to break down the vaccine mandates and the fallout. She covers COVID for the station. Hey, Kate.
Hi, Trish.
So good to have you here. Remind us, who is covered by these mandates?
This is hundreds of thousands of workers across the state, and there were vaccine mandates at the state level, the county level, and the city level. They covered healthcare workers, educators, childcare providers, and tons of public employees. And so, of course, that includes places like the Seattle Police Department, the Fire Department, all those kinds of workers.
Okay, so a lot of people. And the point of this, in part, was to convince more people to get vaccinated. How'd we do?
You know, it seems to have worked. That's what I'm hearing from folks that I'm talking to. Reza Khalil is with Cadillac Health Systems in the Tri-Cities area. Here's what he had to say.
We were kind of capped out at a certain level of vaccination while it was voluntary. With all the things we were doing to try to get it higher, it was just not moving. And having the mandate has really moved up our vaccine compliance, as you've heard today, quite a bit. So we'll see how the numbers play out. But I'm hopeful that the number of additional that we've managed to get vaccinated because of the mandate will help keep everybody safe and keep staffing actually stronger in the long run.
We saw this with state workers as well. More staff were handing in proof of vaccination as the deadline got closer. You know, they went from just under 50% to just under 90% in about a month. The same held true for mandates in New York and also in the public sector with companies like United Airlines who were touting 99% compliance. So we know that these mandates have worked. That's not to say that nobody chooses to leave their job over these requirements, but in most cases, it's been a small percentage, even if those raw numbers sometimes sound large.
Okay, so how many people actually will lose their jobs over this. One of the better known folks is the WSU football coach, who is no longer employed as a result of this mandate.
Very public piece of this that's gone on. Yeah, that's a really good question. And the very unsatisfying answer is we actually don't know yet, right? This is still kind of in the works. The short answer is that we know that some people are losing their jobs. You mentioned the football coach. That was a very public and high-paid employee who was no longer employed at the end of Monday. Washington State Patrol lost 127 of their folks at the end of Monday. It's out of about 2,200 employees. But not everyone who was unvaccinated as of the deadline is going to be fired, at least not immediately. So, you know, for instance, some hospitals are putting workers on unpaid leave and kind of continuing to talk to them and saying like, hey, are you really sure you don't want to get those shots? Like, why don't you get vaccinated and then come on back to work because we could really use you. Other people got a little wiggle room because of labor negotiations, or maybe they were partially vaccinated and they're getting more time to get the final shot, things like that. The goal of this was never to lose staff. So a lot of people are building in some leniency to get as many people as possible into compliance and back at work.
Yeah, yeah. We saw headlines, Kate, a few weeks ago about hundreds of SPD officers possibly being fired. That didn't actually turn out to be true.
No. And this was a pattern that we saw across the country where there were these moments of fear over mass exodus of employees. And then as the deadline rolled around, that didn't really eventuate. And that happened here as well. So latest numbers from SPD show only 7 individuals missed the deadline to show proof of vaccination or request an exemption. They're saying 92% of their staff are now vaccinated. So that leaves about 105 people who have requested exemptions in the SPD. Now, some of them may still end up losing their job because part of that process is, okay, you've requested an exemption. Can we actually accommodate you in your job while you remain unvaccinated? And that piece of things is still ongoing at SPD and in other city departments as well.
Fascinating. So I'm curious what this will do to staffing levels at places covered by the mandate. You know, places like the Washington State Ferry System and the SPD were already struggling with staffing prior to this mandate.
Yeah, that's an issue that folks are running into in several sectors. There was this sort of pre-existing staffing shortage, and then, you know, that means even if a small number of people leave due to the vaccine mandate, it's just the icing on a cake of staffing woes. In healthcare, this is a really big issue. Hospitals across the state are full. They have been slammed with COVID patients on top of everyone that they were already seeing, and they don't have enough staff to deal with it as it is. Here is Dr. Julie Buck. She's an ER doc with Harborview Regional Health in Grays Harbor County.
Some nights there's only one nurse that's scheduled because of for the ER, because the shortage is already so severe. So even losing one more person is going to be crippling.
You know, things like public safety and hospital care, these things are scary when it comes to these kinds of situations. Tell me more about how this may affect people's lives. What should we expect?
Yeah, so I mean, there definitely will be impacts from this. I mean, one thing I will say is that people saw this coming, and so mitigation efforts have been in place, right? They're trying to bring on more staff. They're trying to do what they can to prevent really massive impacts. But, you know, the state ferries, for instance, were short on people before the pandemic, and now they're cutting services back. The same holds for bus drivers. Seattle Public Schools really struggled to fill the routes at the beginning of the year. There were lots of delays, but now they're suspending over 100 bus routes. In healthcare, here's what Cassie Sauer had to say about the impacts. She's the head of the Washington State Hospital Association.
We will see a curtailing of services. There's no question about that. There's going to be caps on admissions in some rural hospitals. There's going to be closing down some service lines potentially, or having people have to wait longer for elective or non-urgent procedures or for outpatient services. So it's both a goal to hire more staff, but also to figure out how do you reconfigure services in a way that you can cover with the staff that you've got.
In healthcare particularly, what folks are really struggling with is that there are two goals, right? Get as many people as possible vaccinated and protect the staff and the patients, and then also keep the system running to serve as many patients as you can. And those two goals are sometimes a little bit at odds, but the hope is that protecting staff now will mean that the impacts from illness and outbreaks and things like that in the future won't then cripple the system.
Sure. And what about the path forward for people who chose not to get a vaccine and who are now out of a job? What are their prospects, and could this choice still have ramifications for them moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what field they're in and where they want to live, right? And, you know, also keep in mind, the choice not to get vaccinated is something that you can change relatively quickly, unless you have a medical reason, or for some people, a genuinely held religious belief. So for some, this is a piece that they could reverse. But, you know, for some folks, there may be jobs that aren't covered by the multiple mandates. There also may be jobs in other states with different rules, perhaps, if they're willing to move. But the thing to keep in mind, and this is especially for folks in the healthcare sector, is that a federal mandate is going to come down and come into effect in the near future. And private employers can also have requirements. So, you know, for instance, I talked to folks at the Seattle Indian Health Board, and they told me they've offered jobs recently to a couple of candidates who didn't want to get vaccinated, and so they rescinded those job offers. You also heard the fire marshal talk about the fact that he's losing benefits. Most people who quit or are fired because of this mandate are in the same boat. They can't count on unemployment. There are some caveats with that, of course, as there always are, but that is something that people have to take into consideration.
Kate, like we've been talking about, the goal here is obviously to get more people vaccinated. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so I mean, Washington State is doing pretty well on that front. If you look at people who are eligible for the vaccine, so that's folks 12 and up, about 77% of them have had at least one dose of vaccine in Washington State. When you narrow down to King County, that number gets even higher. About 87% of people who are eligible in King County have had at least one dose of vaccine at this point.
All right. That's not 100%, and I know that's what King County would love to see. What is the next step in trying to get more people to get vaccinated?
Right. So they're doing the same thing they've been doing the whole time, which is that public health officials just continue to plead with the public, please go and do this. They're also going to be looking at, you know, potential future mandates. We've got more vaccines coming out for younger children. There could be something for students that comes out, you know, in terms of mandates in the future. But the other thing that they're doing is just trying to make things a little bit more difficult, in a sense, if you're not vaccinated. And that's one way to encourage people to get the shots. So come next week, King County is going to put into place a requirement that if you want to go out to a bar or a restaurant or a gym or a museum or a concert, you're going to have to show proof of vaccination or proof of a negative COVID test in the past 72 hours. So that might be just another incentive for people to go and get those shots.
Yeah, certainly sounds a lot easier to get vaccinated than it does to come up with a negative COVID test every time you want to go to a restaurant or a bar or work out at the gym.
Yeah, depends on your social life, I guess, but it does.
KUOW's Kate Walters, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening today. Hey, if you haven't heard, it's KUOW's Fall Membership Drive. You count on us to bring you the news each morning, and now we're counting on you to make it possible. Make a gift of any size at kuow.org/donate. And thanks. Claire McGrain produced today's show. Our production team is Jenny Cecil Moore, Diana Opong, Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you tomorrow. Thank you.